Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's For Women. You are not 9 to 5 and neither are we. Conveniently open online 365 days per year, 24 hours per day.
Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1.
Now, you are all very welcome back, and I'm joined by two guests this morning. Now, they don't know each other, but they have a lot in common. Suzanne Armstrong is before me. She's a bus driver with Dublin Bus. Welcome, Suzanne. And in the studio up in Belfast, Marina Hampton is there. She's a Belfast-based actor. Good morning, Marina.
Good morning.
You can hear us loudly. So you're both shop stewards with your respective unions. Suzanne is SIPTU, obviously, and Equity is for Marina. And I'll come to you in a moment, Marina, because we're going to get to know Suzanne, first of all. So you can relax there for a second. Suzanne Armstrong, welcome, first of all. You're a Dublin bus driver.
I am, yeah.
Yeah, very proud of it and everything. What brought you into that line of work?
Actually, it was my mom. She wanted to be a bus driver and yeah. She asked me to apply for her online. And then I said, sure, I'll give it a go.
So you applied for her?
Yeah. She's not great with computers.
Okay, very good. And did you the business for her?
Yeah.
Did she become a bus driver?
She did. We're in the same garage.
Very good. And you're in the same garage. Where's the garage, by the way?
Harristown, near the airport.
Oh, near the airport. Okay. Oh, yes, Harristown. I passed that before. So you were a mother-daughter Dublin bus driving.
Yeah,
outfit.
I think we might be the only mother and daughter bus drivers in Dublin Bus.
Probably so. Where did you end up? What sort of path did you take to decide about this job is definitely for me?
Do you know what? I had two young kids at the time.
Yeah.
And there was evening and weekend work. And I said, so that might suit around my husband's hours.
So the sort of shift work suited grand. Were there many women bus drivers there when you first came?
No, I could be corrected on figures, but I think we've close to 180 women now.
That's much more than I think
people
would.
There was less than 100 when I started. Yeah.
How long ago was that?
8 years.
8 years you've been doing. You love the job?
Most of the time.
a mixed review there. But you've stuck at it for 8 years. There must be something about it that you enjoy.
Yeah, no, I like the job. I've no intention of going anywhere else, I think.
Yeah, that's a positive sign.
Absolutely.
What is it like being a bus driver? Do you stick to a particular route all the time? Is that how it works?
So I'm a spare bus driver. So that just means I'll do whatever route.
That must be a better term.
No, I'm spare. That's what we say. So you can be marked in or you can be spare. If you're marked in, you have a set route. You know exactly what you're doing.
That's
you're spare,
the term, yeah.
You just do as you're told.
Your mum is still bus driving.
She is.
So would she be the marked in driver?
No, she's spare as well.
Oh, and that's to do with the amount of days you want to work, is it?
It's to do with the days. It's also your seniority. So it takes a while to get marked in. Like if you could just walk in there and know that you'd have a set route, that would be amazing. That's the dream. That's what we all aim for.
Well, and would you not prefer to sort of do a different route each time?
Do you know, it's nice to have the same passengers getting on. It's nice to have regulars.
Yeah, the people that you know and so on.
But it's also nice to have variety, so, you know.
And plus, you know, you can expect what's happening along the line more so, perhaps. I'd imagine most people listening are thinking, Dublin bus drivers, they must have it difficult at the moment, safety and security-wise.
Absolutely. So actually, with SIPTU, we're running a Respect Transport Workers campaign, and that is all about improving conditions for the drivers and for passengers.
Yeah, it was just so important. What have you seen in your 8 years, and has there been a change between when you started and where things are now?
Yeah, there has. So obviously I've seen a lot and I've heard a lot from my colleagues. Yeah. And I think since COVID it's gotten a bit worse, but I don't want to put people off. It is still a great job. I'm still happy there. But I think if we could just get, you know, more security, like transport police or something, just to improve the safety for everybody, that would be great.
I think that's that call has been echoed all around the place, hasn't
it?
Well,
it is, because, like, you know, we want the passengers to be safe. People need to use public transport. We're trying to encourage it. And then they're like, oh, well, actually, I don't feel safe getting on that route, or I don't feel safe at that time, or I wouldn't put my daughter on that bus, you know?
Mm. How does it work when you are doing so many different routes? I mean, you must have an encyclopedic knowledge of Dublin bus routes.
So no one believes me, but I'm really bad at directions, right? Even trying to find my way here. So I was in the car, but I was actually driving a bus route to get here. Because I don't take the shortcuts. So we're trained. When we go in, there's a mentor program set up. So what they will do is, the new drivers will have a mentor. They'd be trained on 3 routes and they'd be left on the routes for 10 weeks,
yeah,
give or take. And that's something the trade unions have put in place, obviously, to make sure everyone feels safe going out. And then they'll route train them on more routes as they go along.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I can't get past the idea that you've driven the entire bus route yourself.
I combined a few different bus routes to get here.
Were you tempted to stop along the way and pick people up?
Do you know, I have done that before. Someone puts their hand out and you go to pull in. You go, oh, I'm in my car today.
Demanding exact change. Sorry. And I'll come to your, Suzanne, I'll come back to you because you're a shop steward.
Absolutely.
For SIPTU. I want to come back to your union story as well. But I want to bring in Marina Hampton now at this stage because Marina Hampton is not a bus driver, Marina.
No,
tell us
not.
What you do for a living.
Yes, I'm an actor.
Yeah.
One of my many jobs. Yeah, I'm an actor. Yeah, so we don't call ourselves shop stewards. We would be reps.
Oh, that's interesting. Reps. Yes, because I was wondering. And do you use the term, Susanna's nodding here as well, you say rep now?
Sorry,
union reps. Marina, yes. I'll come back to you. I'll come with you just as a problem here with Suzanne's microphone. But Marina, okay. So it's union reps. But as an actor, tell us your path into that job and how it's been going for you.
Well, I started off doing Amdram. I remember being in school doing acting and the teachers wanted me to go to drama school. But it was so expensive and we were kind of, I think my dad was unemployed at the time. So I just went into Amdram, and that being a professional actor was just a far-off dream that beautiful people have.
Yeah.
So I did Amdram, and then I kind of volunteered then for professional theatre companies to help out doing anything. And then I kind of, I did extras work as well on big sets. And then actually that was how I made my money, so I could become an equity member as well at that stage.
Very good,
so they,
yes.
So supporting
artists.
They fight
for actors. And tell us how important equity was at that stage for you.
It was very important for a few reasons, actually. Mm. When you're an actor, you're self-employed.
Yeah.
The equity gives you public liability insurance for £10 million. And also
wow.
You have legal aid. So you don't have, you're not working in an office. You don't have kind of comrades to help. So you're completely on your own, and really large theatre companies, really large production companies, it just makes you feel secure that you have a really large union backing you up. So, and also it meant if I get in early, I could get my own name because there can only be one Marina Hampton.
Is that right? Okay.
yes.
Right.
So, which I got because I was I had a backup name. I had Greta Gray as my backup name.
Greta Gray.
So it's my middle name and my granny's maiden name.
Very, very
so
interesting.
But I thought if I get called, I'm going to go, ooh, who's Greta Gray? Look around the room.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know,
I have to remember who it is.
I have to remember.
So
I'm
there's
Greta
only
Gray.
One Marina Hampton, that's
yes.
you. So what
yes.
happens to the next Marina Hampton?
Oh, she'll have to pick something else.
something. Okay, very good. So I can see how it can be a lonely world. You're self-employed and now you have someone to go to if there's a problem in a union.
Yes.
Vital, I'd imagine.
Yeah, it is. And actually we have, I'm gonna plug Alice Lemon. So she is our officer in Northern Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
We've only had her for, I think, two, maybe 3 years. But because we were originally run from Scotland, but now we've got our own person. And it's great. If you've any issues at all, just pick up the phone. You just ring her up,
yeah.
Do you know, and she's much more visible in Northern Ireland. She goes to all the shows that are happening, all the television and film productions happening here. So she is just a call away.
And there's a lot in Northern Ireland, isn't there?
There is now, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think actually having Alice's presence has really pushed up the number of people who are joining Equity because she's a very visible presence, as well as obviously there's more work happening as well. And we've had a few high profile incidences where it's kind of shown that you need to be in a union. Do you know, people have got into bother or had just many things I'll not get into,
yes.
where being in a union would have been great for them if they had been.
Mm-hmm. So you are now the rep, aren't you?
So what a rep, you're only a rep if you're on a show and you get made the rep or you volunteer to be the rep.
Okay.
So you're the person in a show that everyone goes to if they have a problem. I am what you call an activist. So I would sit on committees.
Mm-hmm.
I actually sit on the ICTU committee as well, the Women's Committee, as an equity representative. I sit on a Northern Ireland committee as well. So we have all the business coming through to our meetings. But yes, I can also be a union rep then if I'm on a show. So, which I have been in the past. So,
and what kind of things will people come to you with that you can help them with?
So the people, what people come to me is just little, usually little small things. They're uncomfortable about another actor, or they're not. And usually, I would look at the contracts and see, make sure we've got our proper breaks, our proper days off, and things like that. I also look at safety around the set or the theatre set as well, and just flag up any issues we have.
Yeah.
But mostly people just want a listening ear. So I've had a couple of cases where actually someone's been told off or disciplined or occasionally fired from a job, and they've come to me and I've said, look, I'll pass them on to Equity, because if they've got fired, it's quite a big thing. So I'll pass them on to somebody like Alice, who then tells them, you know. So this particular instance, they told them that the fault had been theirs, and actually the theatre company had worked well within their rights. So it just reassures them. They didn't get the job back, but it reassured them that, one, they need to correct their behaviour, and two, they weren't mistreated.
Okay, so you work on both sides as well, because you're not just going to automatically fight for the person making the complaint. What's the relationship like with the big production companies? Because I'd imagine some of them are coming in, you know, they're very, very powerful, a lot of them. How do unions juggle that relationship?
So that is really, because it's such a big thing, and it's Alice takes care of that. So she's our office worker, so she'll go to, say, I'm going to pick Blue Lights, for instance. She'll go and see them and have a chat with them. And then if you have an issue yourself personally, I mean, say you've got fat slammed, is that the word? You know, you've got made to feel bad that you've not quite fitted into your costume.
Yeah,
fat shamed, fat slammed. I don't know. It's more aggressive. So you'd contact her, and then she'll have a chat with the relevant people. Do you know, because productions, television, film productions, there's so many people involved. You're not too sure who to speak to. But then, so you just phone Alice in the office and she takes care of that. And you're actually not involved in the discussions or wranglings then at that point, you know.
Okay, yeah. It takes a lot of stress off the...
It does.
Yeah.
It does. And it's quite, and it can be quite anonymous. Do you know, you're not...
Right, yes.
You know.
Okay, so there's an issue here, and it can be sorted out without anyone finding or creating bad blood.
Yes.
In your case. I gather you auditioned for Blue Lights yourself.
I did a number of times. So that could be a good thing, because you audition and you didn't get it. And then you ask you to audition again and you don't get it. And then the positive from that is, because you always have to find a positive, is that they keep wanting to see you. So if you're really rubbish, they would go, thanks, but no thanks.
We never want to see you again.
So I'm just, there's so many people in the acting world who, you know, I mean, it's cherry picking for the production company, because they can go, oh, could I have that girl but in blonde, please? You know? And you can get it, you know. So that's, but I mean, Blue Lights, for instance, is great. I mean, it's a shout out to Seamus O'Hara, who's in the new series, who's actually a personal friend of mine. So Seamus is great. So it's good to see really local talent.
A friend has succeeded. That must be very difficult for an actor. As a Gore Vidal said, a little piece of you will die every time a friend succeeds.
Do you know, if Seamus O'Hara looked exactly like me, I would be very upset. But Seamus doesn't, God bless him. He doesn't look anything like me, so I'm just really pleased for him.
I hope Seamus O'Hara joins soon, because there'll be so many Seamus O'Haras trying to get in there. Suzanne Armstrong, I'll come back to you. The union has been very important. SIPTU, in your case, has been very good for you.
Yeah, so before I became a union rep, I would go to them if I needed something. And I said when I joined Dublin Bus, I had two kids. And then I got pregnant and I had a third. So I wanted to go job sharing.
Yeah.
That's kind of difficult to get. But because I had such a good union rep and he knew what hoops to jump through, and I managed to get it.
So he knew exactly what battles to do.
Yeah.
And it's amazing you had to do those battles, but I suppose it was because you needed to have a job tailored to you and your specific needs.
Yeah.
I presume that's easier now, hopefully, for
It depends.
For
like, mums. Obviously, you know, it depends on the garage, and you have to have enough drivers to cover the duties. You know, you can't let buses fall short of passengers not be picked up.
So at the moment, your kind of battle is safety, isn't it?
Yes. Well, look, I'm in the garage.
Antisocial behaviour.
So that's the campaign that I'm working on at the moment. Okay. Yeah.
Well, tell us a little bit about that, because you've had some pretty bad personal experiences.
I have, but I want to say, obviously, you know, this is not aimed at Dublin Bus. This is across all the transport sector. So SIP2 will represent Lewis, Go Ahead, Irish Rail, the whole lot. But yeah, look, there's been instances where you've had like a brick through the window, or you'd have antisocial behaviour on the bus, or drug use on the bus.
A brick through the window?
Yeah.
So you're driving along, a brick comes out, you're trying to do your job.
Yeah, no, it wasn't through the driver's window. It was actually through one of the side windows.
What do you do?
Well, first of all, you figure out what it was.
Yeah.
Because it's quite frightening. You hear this bang and a smash. Yeah. And then you pull the bus in at a safe location and you call control. And then on that instance, I couldn't drive the bus any further because maintenance had to come out and replace the bus.
Oh, it had to be completely replaced.
Yeah, well,
there's a window gone. Yeah.
Yeah, and because the window was smashed, but it wasn't fully out, what maintenance said to me was, if you're driving along and let's say you turn a corner and the window falls out, like it could hit a cyclist, it could fall in on the bus.
I see what you mean, yeah.
So.
And did you have passengers on board at the time?
Actually, that was a Sunday evening, so I had one passenger that had just gotten off. I'd only left the terminus and I was just about to pick up more passengers, so it was in between stops.
So it was just a random brick being thrown and they did a runner?
That's exactly what it was.
Did you go home that evening thinking, I don't want to do this job?
I went home kind of shocked. I was actually pregnant when that happened. That was a few years ago. But I was a bit scared. And then another time I had a bike thrown out in front of the bus. Just, I don't know why.
Lovely.
Yeah.
The bus is moving and the bike.
The bus was moving, yeah. Yeah, yeah. And
good God.
Three guys just thought it'd be funny to hide behind a car and throw a bike out under me.
What happens? What's the protocol in this scenario? Because I presume that ends up underneath the bus.
Yeah, so the bike went under the wheel of the bus. Same thing, pull in, call control. Guards were called.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Not much.
And the bus was full at that point. Like, I'd load the passengers on the bus.
Which they've all seen before as well, passengers, I'm sure. But
I think they have, yeah. Yeah. Look, these are all obviously negative stories and we don't want to focus on the negative.
It is your campaign, yes.
It is the campaign, and look, we would love to have Transport Police and, you know, the National Transport Advisory Council set up, and we're pushing for that, and we've had meetings in Leinster House with different ministers.
I've heard people say, you know, do we need dedicated transport police? We don't have the huge infrastructure of public transport that some big major European cities have, in London. Maybe it's just more police that we need. Is that not one of the...
Yeah, so we're not prescriptive about this. We really don't mind whether it's on Garda Síochána, whether it's a separate police unit, like could be something like airport police, whatever will work. But I think passengers and drivers want that safety there. We want to know, like, and I don't know how it would work. Like, obviously, you can't have someone on every single bus, but I've noticed myself that if a guard gets on the bus, there's no carry-on.
There's nothing.
There's nothing.
Yeah, so the deterrent will work. Especially since the drive is on, they're closing down roads more and more around Dublin. They want us to get into public transport, so they need to make it safer. There's a message here. When I was young, there was a bus conductor on every bus. Maybe it's time to bring them back, this time with a security role. And for Suzanne, maybe they could help with navigating.
Yes, yes, that would be really good.
We hadn't heard your story earlier on. No, that would be...
To be fair, I haven't gotten lost driving the bus. The control are quite good. When I started, actually, I was unsure of something. There's a foot pedal, so I could hit the pedal and they'll pull me up on a map and they go, okay, Suzanne, go down here and, you know, go right and you'll be on track or whatever.
But the main message here is that there is a problem. We need to tackle it, but it hasn't put you off doing your job and encouraging other people to join you as well.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. As a rep then in SIP2, that's what you do?
Yeah.
What kind of problems do you sort out? Do you enjoy fixing the issues that Marina's talking about as well?
Yeah, so we're lucky. Dublin Buses works well with the unions. And our garage is quite large. Like there's four of us reps in my garage.
Very good.
We obviously work together, and then we work... if a member comes up to us, let's say they're having an issue, it could be that, you know, their pay didn't go through right. You know, let's say they didn't get their overtime or whatever. It could be that they were off sick or they could have had an accident. They need someone to represent them.
And Dublin Bus, it's heavily unionised, isn't it? I mean, there's hardly anyone, I'd say, outside of a union.
Oh, I think 90s. No, I'm making up figures, but yeah, it's very heavily unionized. I'm going to get crucified if I give a figure, so I'm not going to.
But
give
it is. We kind of know famously it is, and but it works for the workers anyway.
Yeah, absolutely, because your health and safety, everything gets improved when you have a union, and even not with Dublin Bus, I think it's something like your paying conditions, like you're 12% on average better off if you're part of a trade union.
Is that right?
Okay, so pay wise,
you're in a different pay scale if you're not, because of the union deals have been done.
Yeah.
Okay, so you'd be kind of
collective bargaining.
Unusual not to.
Yeah. Like, well, obviously, when I'm dealing with stuff, it's kind of on a one on one basis when I'm helping members. But if you go higher up with union officials and stuff, they're bargaining for the whole membership.
When's the last time Dublin Bus had any industrial action?
No, like a strike.
Yeah.
It was more than 8 years ago because
was
I wasn't there.
Not in the time. That's how happy they are.
That's how fantastic the unions are working.
And Marina Hampton in Belfast, the equity union and strikes?
I don't think we're allowed to strike, actually.
It's kind of emerged during the American writers' strike, didn't it?
So they're all unionised and they striked. So we can support them morally, but we couldn't take any action ourselves. But it's actually, as well as, you know, because they're a different union, but they struck deals, which means now we can start saying, look, America has this deal, why don't we have this deal? So what's sauce for the goose is sauce for the gander, really, in our field. But yeah, I mean, we can't strike as actors, but there's other parts like stage management.
Yeah.
We support stage management and they can do a walkout.
The technical crews can.
Yes, technical crews, because nothing happens unless, you know, they're okay. And they, you know, obviously they have a big lot of safety issues as well. If they don't feel something's working, it's really a last resort striking, but, you know, sometimes it has to be done. I think people think, oh, just, you know, because the bad image in the past about trade unions being extremely left wing was actually they just want safety and better pay, you know. So and striking is really a last resort for people.
It's a last resort. I'm presuming you would only dream of the Dublin Bus numbers where it's in the 90% membership for actors.
So I actually don't know. I don't know how many people aren't in equity, you know, so I reckon I'd be guessing. I would also be just plucking numbers out the air.
It's quite mixed, isn't it?
It is.
I want to finish here on a lovely message. Suzanne, you're going to enjoy this. You wouldn't believe the impact of our bus drivers on the day-to-day lives of so many people who rely on public transport for one reason or another. As a regular bus user, their kindness never ceases to amaze me. Watching their patience and kindness with different groups of people, the young, the elderly, people with additional needs, mental health issues, their interaction with someone can make all the difference to a person's day and how someone feels. So a big, big thank you to all those drivers who help those of us who can't drive ourselves for one reason or another on a daily basis. It is much appreciated when you show us that bit of care and kindness.
That's lovely.
That's a lovely one. People still say thank you, don't they, getting off the bus?
They do, yeah. Even getting off the centre doors. I was only having a chat with one of your colleagues about that and they'll shout out, thank you.
The centre doors.
Yeah, because obviously we say, get off the centre doors and get on the front doors.
Thank you, Suzanne. I hope you know where you're going next. And do they say that in Belfast, by the way, Marina? Do you use the buses?
I do use the bus, so I mostly use the glider, and the bus driver is in a contained compartment.
Yeah.
So you never see them. And I agree about the safety thing. So, you know, you're usually on the bus, and if somebody aggressive or very drunk comes on, you don't know what to do because you're just civilians, basically. And it'd be handy, if you could have just a bus conductor come on every once in a while just to make sure everything's okay. But yeah, I mean, the smaller buses we have on that don't do the glider, people do say thank you off.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's lovely.
It's a lovely thing. Listen, Marina Hampton, actor and rep with Equity, thank you so much for joining us. Good luck. Blue Lights will continue, by the way, so you can keep on.
Yes, two more series.
Yeah, you can keep on auditioning every single year.
Yes.
Good luck with that. And Susanna Armstrong, happy driving with Dublin Bus. Thank you for your service. And good luck with your campaign as well. So thanks a million for shining the light on the trade unions in the country and the good work that you're doing for workers in those organisations. 51551 is the text. We're going to take a break.
Email Oliver at rte.ie.